Let's do this. Let's take our Bible tonight, and I want you to be in, if you could get the book of Acts, kind of the beginning part of the book of Acts in one hand, and then if you could get, please get Ephesians, actually let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and put a bookmarker in Colossians 1, and then have the beginning, your first chapter of Acts is fine, Acts chapter 1. But then also, if you could get Colossians chapter 1, too, that'd be great. Acts 1 and Colossians 1. I want to give you a couple of statements real quickly. One of the most significant events in the Word of God is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, later known as the Apostle, say it with me, Paul. Let's write that in. Later known as the Apostle Paul. The conversion of Paul, what a significant event there in Acts chapter 9. The conversion of Paul marks for us the beginning of the unfolding of a mystery. And it's the mystery of God's purpose and grace for the past 2,000 years. Now, many of you may not know this. I'll just tell you, Paul wrote more books of the New Testament than any other author. Paul wrote 13 books. He wrote Romans through Philemon. In addition to that, in the New Testament, the book of Acts, which I had you turn to, most of this book chronicles Paul's salvation and his ministry. Paul was the first church planter in this present age of grace. And tonight, I want us to see that God raised up the Apostle Paul, and he gave Paul a distinct message and a distinct ministry for the body of Christ today. And I want to answer the question, why Paul? Why Paul? Why is Paul in the Bible? Now, I want you to think about this with me. If Christ already had 12 apostles, he had trained them for 3.5 years. He had taught them personally. He had equipped them. If Christ poured 3 years, made a big time investment in these guys, if Christ had poured 3.5 years of his life into these guys and he spent 40 days with them after his resurrection, then the obvious question is, why is it when you get all the way over here to Acts chapter 9 that God would raise up another apostle? I mean, why Paul? Why is it that the 12, they fade into relative obscurity in the rest of the book of Acts after Paul comes along? Why did the 12 kind of just fade away into obscurity in the book of Acts, and this new apostle all of a sudden dominates the scene? Why does Paul show up in the Bible? Here's a question. Why doesn't the book of Acts record Peter and the 12 taking the message of the cross to all of the world? Why don't we see that in the book of Acts? I mean, why don't we see Peter and the 12 launching from Jerusalem and then taking the message of the cross out to the world? Why do we see God raising up a separate apostle from the 12 to do this? I think that's a valid question. Would you all agree with me that's a really good question? Amen? I mean, this to me is a question that goes unasked and unanswered in most churches today. It's really sad to me because, even in Paul's day, he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Even in Paul's own day and time, before Paul died, there was a satanic-induced turning away from Paul. And, there seems to be an obsession in the church today, even among many Baptist churches, with always wanting to go back to Peter, and there seems to be this desire to want to always go back to Peter, and we want to go back to Pentecost and go back to Peter and go back, and so why is it that most of your Protestant denominations and of course Catholics, why are they very obsessed with Peter, and why is there kind of a turning away from Paul and the distinct message and ministry that God gave him? Well, here's the sad thing about it. Until people understand the distinct message and ministry of Paul, you are never going to be able to rightly divide the Bible. Now, that's just a fact, okay? You got to figure out Paul. You've got to figure out Paul. You've got to figure out why he's there, okay? And you have to figure out why is he there? What's the purpose? What's the ministry? What's the message of this man named the Apostle Paul that gave us more books of the New Testament than any other author? So in this lesson, I want to answer the question from the Bible, why Paul? And I want us, I'm only going to get through the first point tonight. It's going to be probably a couple of weeks of teaching at least. But here's the first thing I want to give you tonight, and this is really the main thrust tonight that I want to give you. It's in your handout there. The first statement I want to give you on why Paul is this. Paul was given divine truth that had previously been kept secret. Why Paul? Well, because God gave Paul some truth. He gave Paul some divine revelation that had previously been kept secret. Now, in your handout, it says the 12 had been well-schooled in God's prophetic plan. Okay? Now, I want to stop right there and not have you write for a moment. And I want you to listen very closely. When we talk about God's prophetic plan, what do we mean by that? Well, it's the plan that was prophesied. Prophetic plan. This was a plan that had been prophesied, Peter said, since the beginning of the world. So this is a plan that was not kept secret. This is a plan that was very well known. It had been prophesied. And you can go back and see God's prophetic plan in prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah. We studied the book of Hosea last year, and we looked at Hosea in depth. And the 14 chapters of Hosea, we studied through that book. You can go back and you can see all the prophets. It talks about from Samuel. After Samuel, you can see them in all the prophecies dealing with God's prophetic plan. So you say, well, what was it? Well, here's what it was. The prophetic plan was this. Israel would be converted. And Israel, as a nation, they were going to be converted and they would be born again. You say, well, what? Whoa, hold on. What? You mean the prophets talked about Israel being born again? Well, I thought that was a New Testament thought. Well, okay. No. Being born again, remember what when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of Israel, you remember what he told Nicodemus when he talked about being born again? He said, "Art thou a ruler in Israel and knowest not these things?" These were things that Nicodemus should have already known. You say, why? Well, because God talked about Israel being born again in Ezekiel 37 in the vision of the dry bones. God talked about Israel being born again in passages like Hosea 6 we studied, Hosea 13 we studied, Isaiah 66. God talked about this nation being converted and born again. Now listen closely. The prophetic plan all through the Old Testament was that the prophetic plan would be kicked off by Israel being converted, Israel being born again, and when that happened, Christ would come and would return to this earth, and Christ would rule the earth as Israel's king, as their Messiah. When Christ returned to the earth, Israel's kingdom would be restored. When Christ returned, there would be a restoration of the kingdom of Israel with a king sitting on the Davidic throne of Israel. And in your handout is a key statement. Israel would be the vehicle through which the Gentile nations would have the knowledge of God and of Christ as Messiah and King. Now, we've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to hammer this tonight, and we've looked up the verses, that in Old Testament prophecy, the prophetic plan called for the rise of Israel, the conversion of Israel. And as Israel was converted, then God would bless them, and that blessing would flow through them to all the Gentile nations, and the knowledge of God would flow through Israel to all the Gentile nations. The Gentile nations would be blessed through Israel's rise. Now in your handout, it says the 12 knew this plan. They knew the prophetic plan, and they were anxiously awaiting the fulfillment. Now, they had spent 3.5 years with Christ in ministry. They spent 40 days with Him after His resurrection. And then they ask a very logical question in Acts 1:6. Let's look at it. It says, "When they therefore were come together," They came together with Christ after His resurrection. This is before He ascends back to heaven. They asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That is a great question. You know why it's a great question? Look in your handout. It says they knew that the prophetic plan had to begin with the conversion of Israel. They knew that the prophetic plan had to begin. That's what would kick it off. That's what would get it going, was the conversion of the nation of Israel. In Matthew 10:23, you don't need to turn there necessarily, but in Matthew 10:23, Jesus told the 12, He said, I'm going to warn you, persecution is going to come. He said, when you're persecuted, you in one city, He said, you flee to the next city. When you're persecuted in this city, you flee over here to the next city, and you preach the gospel of the kingdom. When you preach there at persecution, you flee over to the next city. And He told them, He said, you will not have gone over all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man will be coming back. So the prophetic plan called for the conversion of Israel, and they would go through Israel preaching, but God was very important to tell them, the plan begins at Jerusalem, guys. Luke 24, after His resurrection, Luke 24, 47, He told them very specifically where to begin. And that was at Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem would be the center of the kingdom. Jerusalem had to be converted first. If the conversion of Israel had to come before the kingdom prophetic program could go, then it had to begin at Jerusalem. That's where the center of the kingdom would be set up. That's where the king would reign. So He said, you begin at Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Boy, what a confusing verse this is to people. It's really not confusing, but people make it confusing. It makes logical sense when you read it in the context, okay, of the restoration of the kingdom. He says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in, where does it start? Jerusalem and in all Judea, that's southern Israel, and in Samaria, that's northern Israel, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you hear this thing, that verse has been misused so much by well-meaning people. But, you know, they'll say, well, you know, here it is, you know, they needed to start in their hometown. Start in your hometown and then you launch out from there. Well, Jerusalem wasn't their hometown. That's so ludicrous, okay? Jerusalem, there's something much far deeper than start at your hometown. You know, they were men of Galilee. That's northern Israel. Jerusalem's in southern Israel. This wasn't their hometown, okay? And so what we're dealing with here is the prophetic program. The prophetic program had to begin at Jerusalem. Israel had to be converted before that prophetic program could go. So what did they do? They worked diligently for the conversion of Jerusalem. And they preached the gospel of the kingdom and the risen Messiah to Israel. Now, go to Acts 3. This is a very key passage that will reveal to us the 12's understanding of God's prophetic plan, what we talked about, that Israel would be converted, and then after Israel is converted, the king would come, and when the king would come, he would rule as their king, he would restore their kingdom, and then they would be a blessing to the nations, right? That's the prophetic plan. You can read about it in the Old Testament. Guess what? Look what Peter preaches. Acts chapter 3, he's preaching to Israel. After they heal the lame man, he says in verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus. Notice this. Whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted of you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Go down to verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Now, okay, you took Him, you killed Him, He's risen. So what's the message? Is the message, hey, He made a full atonement for your sins on the cross, and if you'll put your faith in Him, He'll give you His righteousness. Is that what Peter preaches? It's what we preach. I wonder if that's what he preached. Well, let's look. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore. Repent from what? In the context, what did they need to repent from? From killing the Messiah. Repent of killing Him. Look at it. Repent ye therefore, and notice this, be what? Converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. But notice when the blotting out would happen. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, verse 20, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That's that kingdom, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since what? World began. Now, do you understand what Peter's saying? He's saying exactly the prophetic plan he'd been schooled in. Israel, if you will repent and if you will be converted, Christ will return. The times of restitution, your kingdom, will come. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. That's speaking of Christ, that prophet. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now look at this. Verse 25. He tells Israel, you're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be what? Blessed. See the prophetic plan? Through Israel, through that Abraham's seed, the blessing would flow to all the Gentile nations. Look at verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to what? Bless you. In turning away every one of you from His iniquities. So Peter had a real good understanding, folks, of the prophetic plan. He's not preaching here the cross work of Christ. He's preaching, hey, you took the Messiah, you killed Him. You need to repent of it and you need to be converted. And if you'll be converted, then the times of refreshing will come. Christ will return. He'll restore the kingdom. The times of restitution will come. And all that kingdom that's been prophesied since Samuel will come at last, and you will be that blessing to all the kindreds of the earth that God has planned for you to be. He preaches that prophetic plan. Now, I'll give you a key statement in your handout. When persecution arose in Jerusalem and the believing Jews were scattered, the 12 bravely remained in Jerusalem, firmly committed to God's prophetic plan. I want you to go to Acts chapter 8, and I'll show you an interesting verse. Stephen has just been killed and martyred in Jerusalem. Stephen preached to Israel. They gnashed on him with their teeth and they murdered him. Acts 8 verse 1 says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all what? They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. What's the last three words of the verse? Except the apostles. Now, I have heard preachers actually rip the 12 for doing this. I mean rip them. I've heard preachers say that they lack faith and that's why they stayed in Jerusalem. I've heard preachers say they were prejudiced and they didn't want to take the good news of Christ to the nations and that's why they stayed at Jerusalem. You know, and I've heard that stuff and that is just so ridiculous. It's so unfair. Let me ask you a question. Would you want to remain in a hostile environment where your life was in constant jeopardy? Would you want to do that? I mean, in Acts 5:40, they were all beaten in Jerusalem and threatened. In Acts 12, James is martyred and killed. You know Peter, James, and John? The James there, he was killed and martyred in Jerusalem. Then they took Peter as a prisoner and planned on killing him. And God delivered him. And they went through all this, why? For remaining in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was not their hometown, as I said earlier. They remained there for one reason, folks. They knew the prophetic plan. They knew that the kingdom could not come and the blessing of God could not go to the Gentiles until Israel was converted, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay? But, and this is what I want you to get in your handout, but hidden in God, hidden in the heart of God, was a mystery time period that God did not reveal to anybody, including the 12. Paul called it the dispensation of the grace of God. This was hidden, okay? It was a mystery. It was unrevealed. In your handout, it says, this body of truth concerning God's grace was kept secret. It was kept secret. It was a mystery in previous time, but it was revealed to Paul in due time. And it was revealed by direct revelation of Christ. Go with me now. Keep your bookmarker in Acts now. If you can move something there in Acts, because we're going to go back. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Paul explains in verse 25. Colossians 1:25. He says, whereof, Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill. That word fulfill means to complete the word of God. Even the mystery. So this body of truth that Paul got, which he said would fulfill or complete God's word, he said it was a mystery. Look at it. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Notice what the riches of the glory of the mystery is. It's what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul makes it clear that there was a body of truth that was unrevealed. It was kept secret from the fountain. Now remember, the prophetic plan, Peter said, it had been prophesied since the beginning of the world. Paul says this stuff he got was hidden in God from the foundation of the world. Big difference. Look back at Ephesians now. Go to Ephesians right before Colossians. Just go back a couple of books to Ephesians 3. And we'll see this again. Ephesians 3. Notice with me verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, here it is again, which is given me to you. How that by revelation. Notice, how did Paul get this information? He got it by revelation. He made known unto me. So God, Jesus Christ, made it known unto me, the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was, notice, this is different than the prophetic plan, because this body of truth Paul got, he said, notice, which in other ages was what? Not made known. See, not made known under the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is this? Notice he goes on and explains that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, Paul's gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been, and what's the next three words? Hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, let me make one thing clear to you, and I think this will kind of help you understand what's going on in the book of Acts. Peter and the 12, did they have good news that they proclaimed? What they had a gospel, they had good news. The word gospel means good news. They had good news they proclaimed. Well, what was the good news they proclaimed? Here it was. They proclaimed to Israel. There were no Gentiles. They proclaimed to Israel, listen, that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. You killed him, but God raised him up. He's risen, he's alive, and he is in fact your Messiah. And the good news was, God's giving you another chance. God's giving you, Israel, another chance. Your sins can be blotted out, and the promised kingdom can still come if you will simply repent and be converted to Jesus Christ. Now, to Paul was given a different good news. Paul was sent out to the Gentiles with the good news that God's grace was available to them also. Look at Ephesians 3:8 again. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Notice, Paul said, that I should preach among the who, church? Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now think about this. We talked about this the last couple Wednesday nights. The Gentiles were cut off from God. Right, Brother Larry? The Gentiles were cut off, alienated. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. The Gentiles had no promises, had no covenants. Okay, they had no spiritual privilege. They had no direct access to God. Okay? He makes that clear in Ephesians 2:11 and 12. They were cut off. They were without hope, the Bible says. The Gentiles who had been cut off from God, Paul said, he went out with some good news. Hey, you can now be reconciled to God apart from the nation of Israel. And in your handout it says, it was revealed that Christ's death, it was revealed to Paul that Christ's death was in fact a blessing and the source of God's grace. So to Paul was revealed that Christ's death was a blessing. It's actually the source of God's grace. And in your handout, Christ made a full atonement for the sins of all of mankind on the cross. Now, church, listen to me. And I want you to get this. Okay, because what I'm telling you is the truth. And it's you can study it. I encourage you to be a Berean and you search this out for yourself. The 12 never explained the cross in this light before. The 12 in the early part of Acts never explained they aren't preaching the cross, and atonement was made on the cross. And you can have forgiveness of sins because of the cross work of Jesus Christ. You go back, you read Acts 1 through 8, see if you see it. It's not there. Okay? Paul, on the other hand, said that his whole ministry was about preaching Christ crucified. He said, when I came to you at Corinth, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul's whole ministry was preaching the cross. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached the cross everywhere he went. Paul's message was that a full atonement for sin had been made on the cross and that Jew or Gentile could be reconciled to God through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not find them preaching that there in the earth. You will not find them preaching that until after the salvation of Paul. You say, well, why weren't they preaching it? What was wrong with those guys? Well, in your handout, it's just simply because it was not revealed yet. There was some hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says there was some hidden wisdom in the cross that God didn't reveal to anybody. And God finally revealed it to Paul. There was some hidden wisdom, folks, there was some hidden wisdom in the cross that you and I know about today. And man, we glory in it and we praise the Lord for it. And we know that through His cross work, we're reconciled to God. We know that through His blood atonement on the cross, that we can be redeemed and we can be forgiven and we can be reconciled. We know all that today. But Paul said there was some hidden wisdom there concerning those things that God didn't reveal. And the reason why is because he said, had the princes of the world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had Satan known the wisdom of the cross and what God was doing through the cross, Paul said they wouldn't have crucified him. Satan and his demonic host would have never done it had he known what would be accomplished through that cross work. And Paul made it clear, folks, that the gospel that he got, the gospel of grace, he made it clear in Galatians 1. He said, I didn't get it from the 12. I didn't get it from any other man. I got it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul had to go to Jerusalem in Galatians 2. He had to sit down and explain to Peter, James, and John and the 12 the gospel that he preached. And they recognized it, and they shook his hand, and they recognized that this had come from God. Paul preached that through the cross work of Christ, God was now offering grace and peace and reconciliation to individuals everywhere. And this grace, listen, this grace of God could be directly appropriated by individuals. And you know how it was appropriated? By faith alone in the shed blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And Gentiles, you don't have to go through Israel. You don't have to go through the law of Moses. You don't have to go through the rite of circumcision. You can go directly to God now and be reconciled to Him. You can be brought near unto God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That was given to Paul. And all of that was new revelation. And you will not find Peter or the 12 preaching that until after the salvation of Paul in Acts 9. In your handout, it says, Peter understood that the prophets had foretold Christ's death. He didn't know that. Peter knew that the prophets had foretold that Christ would die. Okay, but in your handout it says, but they did not preach or understand the atonement for sin on the cross. They did not understand the redemption, reconciliation, or forgiveness that was to be extended to mankind through the death of Christ on the cross. You won't find Peter and the 12 preaching the cross in this light in the early part of Acts. You know what they preached? They preached, repent of crucifying Christ, believe the message that He's raised from the dead, and then Israel, you identify with Him through water baptism. And if you examine carefully the sermons there, we got time. Go to Acts chapter 2. Okay, you're already there. I was hoping I'd have time. I didn't know if I would. Acts chapter 2, I'll just show you. I'll give you a little sample. Day of Pentecost. Okay? Peter's first sermon after the resurrection. He's preaching to Israel. We know that from verse 36. We know his audience. Okay? And we know in verse 23, look what he said. Him being delivered, Christ was delivered. Notice he said, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Notice, you have taken. You took the one that came to this earth to be your Messiah. You took him and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Notice, there's no preaching here on the day of Pentecost of He died for your sins. And if you'll put your faith in Him, He will save you and give you His righteousness. No. Whenever you see Peter preaching about the cross, he's always preaching the cross from the standpoint of what a wicked thing you've done. What a wicked and abominable thing. You took your Messiah and you crucified Him. Look at verse 24. Whom God hath raised up. You'll find Peter preaching it this way every time. You crucified Him, but God raised Him up, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, what do you want us to do? Now, if somebody came up to you, Pastor Larry, and they said, Man, I've messed up. I've offended God. What should I do? What would you tell them? What would they do? You just give them the gospel, right? You tell them, hey, Christ died for all those sins. He died for them. He made a full atonement. He made a full payment. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, you can be reconciled to God forever. Isn't that what you tell? Church, is that what you tell them? Amen. Well, what does Peter tell these folks when they say, what shall we do? Verse 38. Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting? That's not at all what we would say today, but that's all Peter knew up to that point. He was just preaching what was revealed up to that point. Paul doesn't come along until way later. The gospel of grace isn't revealed to Paul until way later. The magnificent wisdom of the cross work of Christ and what it entailed wasn't revealed until way later. So Peter's just preaching what was revealed. Look with me over at chapter 3. And, well, we already read all that. We read the whole sermon there, how he lays out the prophetic plan. Acts 3, 13 through 20. He lays out the prophetic plan to them. Okay, if they'll repent, he'll send Christ and set up that kingdom. Look at chapter 4 and notice verse 2. It says that the Sadducees, the religious leadership of Israel, they were grieved. Verse 2, they were grieved. Why were they grieved? Well, they were grieved because they taught the people and they preached through Jesus the what? Yeah, see, they were preaching the resurrection. Their message wasn't centering on the cross work of Christ. It was centering on the fact your Messiah is risen. You need to believe that. Verse 10. He says, chapter 4, verse 10, he's preaching to Israel. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, notice again, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone. Christ is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Can't be saved any other way. He's your Messiah. He is risen. Put your faith and trust in him. Look with me at verse 33. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Is that what it says? No. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Look with me at chapter 5, verse 29. Notice Peter again is the spokesman. Acts 5, 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, they're talking to the religious leadership of Israel who are trying to shut their mouths, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. That's exactly what he preached in Acts 3. If you will repent of this that you've done, okay, then the times of refreshing will come and he's going to blot out your sins. Of course, all this was part of the prophetic plan. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Notice that the Bible says, so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Very interesting. Now, we could go on and on here. I could go to chapter 7 and Stephen's message. We could go to chapter 8 and the same thing again with Philip. Go over to chapter 10, and when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, that Gentile, Peter doesn't want to go. He knows the prophetic plan calls for the conversion of Israel first. Paul got saved, though, in chapter 9. Things are going to change. Peter doesn't know that yet. Peter goes to this Gentile house, and again, he preaches what's been revealed. Verse 39, Acts 10:39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And before Peter can even keep going on, okay, with the prophetic plan, the Holy Spirit just interrupts it, and Cornelius and these Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a real simple reason why you don't find Peter preaching the cross work of Christ. And that's because, like I said, it hadn't been revealed yet. Peter and the 12 could only preach what had been revealed up to that time. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. They could only preach what had been revealed up to that time. Acts 4:20. Notice Peter says, Peter and John, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have what? Seen and heard. We can only tell you what we've seen and what we've heard. So, do you see now the first reason why God raised up Paul? Here's what God did. Now listen closely, church, and I'm done. God saved his chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus. And God extended to this chief enemy grace. And why would God do that? Because to this man, God would make known the fact that, hey, you're a pattern. what I just did for you, saving you by my grace, my enemy, what I just did for you, in your handout it says God was now going to give to all of his enemies in the world an unprecedented time of grace. Amen, church? And here's, you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about that prophetic plan that had been talked about since the foundation of the world, where, you know, Israel and the 12 knew all about it, and where Israel would be a blessing to the nations? What about that prophetic plan? Well, God temporarily postponed that prophetic plan, and God raised up Paul, and he gave to Paul this gospel of grace. He saved his chief enemy and said, okay, now, what I've done for you, I'm going to offer that grace to the entire world. And then he began to reveal to Paul the cross work of Christ, what was accomplished on the cross, what happened on the cross, how that God could make this offer of grace because of the finished work of Christ, the atonement for sin on the cross. And God begins to reveal all this to Paul, and of course, he goes out and he shares this message of grace with the world. Paul didn't know how long this grace period would last, nor do we. In your handout, I'll give you the last statement. God would send His grace directly to the world through the work of atonement that Christ made for sin on the cross. And God raised up Paul, and He revealed this body of truth to Paul. And here's what I want you to get, church. If you go through Christian radio and you go through the Christian TV and you watch that stuff, there's an obsession with Peter and the 12. There's an obsession with the early part of Acts. And there's an obsession with this stuff. But what I want you to understand is what's going on there. Okay? Why would we get obsessed with the early part of Acts? Why would we get obsessed with a time period where our apostle hasn't even been saved yet, where the message of grace hasn't even been revealed yet, okay, where the body of Christ hasn't even been revealed yet? Why would we go back there for our model for today when none of that's even been revealed yet? It's not even there. The prophetic plan is still, just full steam ahead. Well, folks, we're living in a day and time in which the prophetic plan's been postponed. And now we're living in a time of the grace of God. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Amen. You know, this is all good stuff to know, but if you don't do anything with it, all you've got is a head full of knowledge. You know what? I teach you this stuff so you can go out there and talk intelligently to people about the grace of God. And I teach this stuff to you not so that you can just brag about how much you know and brag about, I know what's going on in the four Gospels, which we talked about last week. And I know what's going on in the early part of Acts. And I know that the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is a key event. And I know that it's then God begins to reveal the time of grace, and God begins to reveal what happened on the cross and all that. And you could have a head full of knowledge. You can know all that stuff. But you know what? If you never witness to a lost sinner about the grace of God, what good is that knowledge doing you? Are you with me? I mean, you know, if you don't even bother to tell your neighbor about it, you know, you don't even bother to tell your coworker or your family member, you know, you don't even bother to share that man, God's offering His grace to you today, you know? And God's extending grace to the world, and we don't know how long this period of grace is going to last. We're living in a grace period. We don't know how long this grace period is going to last. Because when it's over and the body of Christ is caught up, that prophetic program is going to kick in again. And the time of wrath is going to come, and the conversion of Israel will come, and Christ will return, and the kingdom will be set up. This time of grace will be over, folks, once we're taken out. And we don't know when that will be. So we need to be telling the good news. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, God, for, Lord, your word and how it just makes so much sense when we rightly divide it. Lord, when we just let the verses say what they mean and mean what they say, when we take them in context, Lord, and we don't try to read into passages Lord, our knowledge of things. Lord, how the Bible just comes alive. It makes sense. It all just lays out there perfectly. And we can see, God, you working. We can see you progressively revealing more and more of your plan throughout the Bible. And we see you revealing to Paul this time of grace today. Lord, thank you, God, for the time of grace you've given us. We don't deserve it. Lord, that's grace. Unmerited favor. Thank you that you've offered to the world a time of grace. Thank you that you have revealed to us what happened on that cross and that full atonement for sin on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. And thank you, Jesus, that through your cross work, we know that your grace can be extended to mankind based on that and how thankful we are for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ and what he did for you on the cross, why don't you right now trust him? Just let God know that you're trusting Christ to save you and nothing else. You're trusting in what Christ has done on the cross, dying for your sins, and you're not trusting in anything else. Why don't you just exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Ushers, if you'll come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a blueprint for the local church, the body of Christ, how it's to function, how it's to operate.